All right. So officially, welcome everyone to the Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. I am really thrilled that you're here. This is, you've probably heard me say it before, but truly this is my favorite course. It will never be combined with anything else. This is it, because I think that you all deserve to have a time and a space and an education and support and all those things, because it's so important that you want to be an author of change. So I'm thrilled to be able to serve you and support you in getting out there with your books. Okay, so logistics, as I said, I'm just going to repeat a few things because there's some people who aren't here. So logistically, it's great if you can have your video on. I love this because I'm not alone. I get to see everybody and I get to meet you and see you, and I can, you know, actually get a sense of who you are and what you're struggling with and all of that. So video is awesome. Audio is required. If anyone's struggling, the video is typically at the bottom, as so as the mic. Now, you can mute yourself if there's noise in the background or whatever, so that, you know, you're not interrupting. What else? Let's see. Okay, so let me explain how sessions will go. Let me ask you first, did everybody get access to the membership site and get the webinar and the homework? Sherry's yes. Saying no.
I did.
Sherry's saying yes. That, yes, who was that? That's it.
But I didn't have time to go through it all, but I accessed it.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, so raise your hand if you didn't get it. Okay, Sharon didn't get it. Deborah didn't get it.
I got the assignment, but I just wanted to say that the PDF for the slides is faulty. There's nothing there.
Yeah, I got something that said access denied. PDFs or the slides, I also couldn't get to.
Okay, so it may be that Ruth.
That's true for me too.
Okay, so Ruth is my help, and it may be that Ruth forgot to open that up for you. So, you know, it's just there actually as a backup for, you know, if you want to just print it out or whatever, so you know what was on the PowerPoint. So Ruth is in England. She's asleep right now, but I will email her. I'm going to make a note right now to myself to tell Ruth to make sure that's available. Okay. Sharon, you didn't get in because you couldn't or because you didn't? Unmute yourself. Wait, hold on. I'll unmute you.
Sorry, I forgot I was on mute.
I unmuted you.
Thank you. I, as of an hour ago, I still hadn't gotten the email that would give me the path to it.
Okay, well, the second email that I sent you, two emails, and the second one had the website, you know, that said, just go to www.ninaamir.com/login and log in.
Yeah, I was able to log in. Uh-huh.
And then once you did that, you should have had access to your course.
And that would be in the column on the right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't see it there, but I will check again. Let me check right now.
Okay. So if you don't have it, Sharon, could you please email me and I will forward your email to Ruth. And by the time you wake up in the morning, everything will be fixed.
What should we have done thus far?
Okay. So I knew that most of you wouldn't have done much of anything because you only got access yesterday. Okay. So there is the webinar there. It's a replay. So there's a recording of a webinar. Please ignore the dates at the end of every one of those recordings because I recorded these last year. Okay. But there was no reason to re-record them. The information at all remains good. So anyway, there's a recording of the webinar. So every Monday you'll have access to those. So if you can make time on Monday to watch the video, that's awesome. Then and the homework will be available at the same time. You can download the homework and the PDF of the webinar, right? So that you have that to refer to. But the homework, then what I would suggest is before we meet on Tuesday, since there's not a lot of time between Monday and Tuesday, is on Monday, just skim through the homework, read it, right? See if you have any questions for me during our sessions, because these sessions are all about coaching you, okay? Today, you don't really have to have done anything, because what we're going to do is we're going to introduce ourselves. I'm going to have each of you introduce yourself briefly so that everybody knows what you're writing and what you're working on, because we want to be able to support each other, right, and get excited about each other's projects. So that's what we're going to do first. Then we'll open it up for questions. So any questions you have about the program, about, you know, those of you who have looked over the webinar or the homework or any of that, you can ask questions. Okay. So now, okay. So the webinar was, you all had access to the webinar who actually got onto the site, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So that was there. The homework, were you able to download the homework?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So it's only the PDF that's the problem. All right. So at this point, I can't remember who asked. Was it Valerie? Deanna, did you ask about what were we supposed to have done by now?
I did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I don't have a problem if you've done nothing. Okay. I just want to make sure everybody has access. And by next week, hopefully you will have done the homework for this week. And at least, if not watched the webinar, at least looked at the PDF. So that when you come, you have questions related to the homework, related to what we're doing for the new week. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes.
Sorry, what's in the PDF?
The PDF is actually just the slides of the webinar recording. Okay? So that way, I just thought if you wanted to, you could print that out, mm-hmm. right? And have it there when you're doing your homework to refer to without having to go back to the webinar over and over and over again. Make sense? Okay. And Valerie, you got in and everything was good?
All good. All good. All right. Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So, yeah, I'm just going to repeat that at the end of the webinar recordings, there's always a slide that comes up that says, this is what we're doing next time, and here are the dates. Ignore the dates, please, okay? I know they're all wrong. Okay, so any questions or logistics, anything you need to ask me about before we do some introductions?
Okay, just that one thing. You said ignore the dates, so the next webinar will not be May 24th?
No.
Okay. No. Okay. Well, I'll cross those off my calendar.
Yeah. So then we are almost every Tuesday. If you go back here, hold on. Let me do this real fast. Let me go to the internet and go to the page. And does everybody see where the chat pane is?
Yes.
If you hover down below. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So hang on. I'm going to just grab these. I think they were in the email I sent you, but just so you have it. I am going to go to the chat and I am putting in all the dates.
Oh, thanks.
See that? And you can actually copy and paste that somewhere if you want. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't an email. I'm pretty sure I put it in an email. But okay. There are, I think we're pretty much every week except for, looks like maybe the last. Oh, wait, something's wrong. It should be 29, May 1st, 18th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th, not 19th. You see that?
Oh, okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
I use Firefox and Google Chrome, and I always get the message that Nina's site is not secure and it won't let me log in. Does anyone else have that problem? Mm-hmm.
I found out if I just click on my account, then I can go in much smoother. And it's in the drop down.
What do you mean in your account?
Well, that's the way it's labeled.
From which page?
On login.
You can't log in.
Well, it's the prompt. If you want to.
Oh, my account? If you just... What did you say? You press on, you click what? I don't want to take up a lot of time, but what did you say?
I clicked on my account.
Right. And then I get the login page, and it won't let me log in because it says it's not secure. So
there's something on Firefox where you should be able to tell it that it's okay. We can only see the middle section of your body right now, Sharon.
I'm sorry. what browsers are you guys using?
Sharon?
Nina, what browser are you
Safari?
Using?
Safari?
So, Deborah, you're using Safari.
I just have Explorer.
I'm using Firefox, and I just go ahead and type in on the line. And
yes. So this is something to do potentially with your, with maybe, you know, your server.
Yeah, I need to get on the phone with AT&T UVerse and see what's going on.
Yeah, ask them. And if you still have problems, I could maybe get Robert on the phone with you or something, and maybe he can lead you through. The other thing would be to Google it.
Doesn't happen at any other site. Weird.
Yeah, the site is totally secure.
Yeah, I believe you. Okay.
I'm legit. Okay, so I put in there the correct dates for May, okay? I don't believe that we have a break. I think we're going every week. You know, occasionally I'm away and there's a break, but based on these dates, I don't see that we actually have any kind of a break. But I always email you and I tell you if we're, you know, or tell you during our session if we have a break. But there are all your dates, okay? Any other logistics you want to cover? No? We all good?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. So what I would like to do now is I would like for everyone to meet each other. I have met a lot of you, but not everyone. And I know a lot of you have been on my list for a while or been in contact and communication with me in different ways. Like Deanna, I know we have, you know, it seems like for years, but I, you know, I don't actually know all of you that well, and I want all of you to know each other too. So what I would like you to do is to just say your full name, because it's not on everybody's screen, where you live, tell us what genre you're writing in. So some of you might be writing fiction or memoir, right? And some might be doing straight nonfiction. So what genre, and tell us what your purpose is with the book. So what's the book about, and what is it you want to accomplish? Does that make sense? So I'm going to type it here. So full name. Full name makes it easy. Full name, where you live. What's that?
End of the day, I need help.
Yeah, well, I had already forgotten it. So, full name, where you live. I had all kinds of stuff today. Let me tell you, daughters with broken 5-year relationships, all kinds of stuff. So, anyway, full name, where you live, genre, you know, basic subject. You know, as briefly as you can tell us, subject, topic, and then really your purpose. So, you know, that's the why. Why this book, this cause, right? This movement, whatever it is. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Who'd like to start us off?
I will.
Okay. Go right ahead. Okay. Now I'm going to be typing it up, okay, so that I know. So say, okay, go ahead.
My name is Sherry Newcomb, and I live in Syracuse, Indiana, and I'm writing a book, inspirational fiction. The subject or topic, it's about a woman who finds herself a widow, and she just has lost herself because she doesn't know who she is anymore. She's not Travis's wife, but anyway, she has the choice of either sinking into grief, which will last, you know, and losing herself completely, or she can stretch herself and become more than she is. And her friends push her to stretch herself and become more than she is. And so through meeting some really strange people, she, and doing some having experiences she wouldn't have otherwise have done, she discovers her true identity and or her true self, and it's kind of a surprise identity.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you actually did a really good job of telling us about that, and not like most novelists, it takes them forever. So good job.
Oh, really? Thanks. Because yeah. I thought I was being way too long with that.
No, well, we're going to work on our pitches and things like that, but that was pretty good.
As long as we were going to the 12th floor, we had enough time, right? Yeah. Anyway, my purpose for writing it is because when I was a widow, I kind of felt that way. I had to care for my husband before he died, and that just was overwhelming for me. I honestly felt like one day I heard something say, "I am your soul, and I'm dying." And it scared me. And it's like, if I don't do something, I am just going to be a walking dead. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, after some time, I tried to work through it, but I have lots of friends, and they were all keeping me busy in widowhood, and that was all really good, except you know, I wanted to discover some things for myself. So really my purpose for writing the book is to live through that again and figure it out. But my hope is to help other women who are either gone through divorce or even an empty nest or a widowhood find their way out of that grief or out of that confusion and awesome. Find their souls.
Awesome. So how many of us think that that would be a very useful book for women who are widows?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So awesome. Thank you very much. All right. Who would like to go next? Anyone? Be brave. This is a safe space, by the way. Okay. There is no, oh, Deanna's going to go. Awesome. Well, just before you go, this is a safe space. Okay. We make an agreement here. I didn't say it at the beginning, but we really kind of make an agreement here that we're not going to judge. We're only going to support and help. And whatever we say here stays here. So if you have something personal that's coming up for you, you know, it's fine. Bring it up. We keep it here. Everybody agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We'll ask anybody else who wasn't here next time, okay? You can remind me. Okay, so Deanna's going for it.
Can I quickly respond to Sharon?
Sure.
Yeah.
When you describe your book topic, I was thinking of two things. One is there's a book that someone shared with me that is written by Elizabeth Alexander. It's called The Light of the World. She was the poet laureate when Bill Clinton was president.
Okay.
And sadly, her husband and soulmate passed away a couple years ago. So this book is about that very unexpected loss of him and her attempt to just figure out what to do with it, I guess.
Yeah.
So that came to my mind. The second thing is I really feel like your book is important, and maybe I wouldn't have realized it, but one of my colleagues at work, I just met her, but she said for 20 years she's been really like taking care of her husband who has a grave illness. And I sometimes think about the weight she's carrying with her trying to keep him alive. And so it just makes me think that, you know, it may not be my personal experience, but I'm recently in contact with other women who are in it and have it ahead. So,
right.
Anyway, I just wanted to say your book seems like there's a real need out there.
Well, thank you. That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
My name's Deanna.
Can I plug my book I've already written for Deanna? Maybe give to our friend or suggest.
Why don't you do this? Put it in the chat pane so that way Deanna can grab it. Okay.
Yep.
And by the way, just as an aside, the book Deanna just told you about is a great competitive book for you. So when you're, when we talk later about business plans for books and all of that, that is probably a book that you would want to take a look at to see, you know, what they've done and how it, you know, whether yours is different, unique, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll talk about that more when we get to month three, although questions about any of this are appropriate during any of our sessions, okay? All right, go on, Deanna.
My name is Deanna Blackwell, and I live in Springfield, Illinois. My book is a nonfiction, and I think of it as a training guide, a cultural and professional training guide for foreign teachers who are teaching abroad. Helping them develop lesson plans and guiding them through some of the cultural challenges of being a foreigner in a foreign environment. I think it's pretty simple, and I thought, anyway, my purpose is made twofold, I think. And really probably, well, one, to be helpful to foreign teachers who are overseas right now, and just the process of going and coming home, which can be a big shock. But now that we're talking, I feel like my reasons are kind of selfish. The book is an expression of what I think are my highest values, which is international humanitarianism. And it has become something I desperately want to express in the world. And I see this book as a vehicle for that. And the movement is the movement for me to restore my creative self. And again, this book would be an expression of that. So in this moment, my purpose is quite selfish.
Okay, so I want to backtrack a second. First of all, personally, and we can check in with everyone else, I don't think that a book that is about international humanitarianism is necessarily selfish. I think that's a very broad, broad-reaching topic. I think I saw some nodding of heads. And the movement to restore your creative self, my question is, are you in the process wanting to restore other people's creative self?
I feel like I'm in a survival mode for my creative self. My work is like caregiving work, and I'm in a mode of like, I need to save myself because I'm running out.
Yep.
Of whatever other people need or could get from me. I've got to salvage my soul.
Yes.
Okay. So I would say then your movement has more to do with international humanitarianism, and it's, you know, the focus right now is on these teachers, which is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I think that's, I mean, teachers are out there teaching. They're affecting lives of many people, right? So I see how all that works together. I would say that is more of a movement or a calling or a cause. And this, to restore your creative self is your big why, your personal why. So we're going to work with personal purpose as well as the book's purpose. And you actually seem to have more than one. One is more personal, and one is for the book and also for you as well, right? That the humanitarian aspect with the teachers is both you and your book. Do you understand that they're sharing the same purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't feel like you're selfish, and we all have to take care of our souls, right?
Thanks.
And if you can take care of yours and in the process put something out into the world that will help others, all the better, right?
That's the dream.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
I'll go next.
Okay, who is that?
Sharon. You can't see me?
Yes, I can see you, Sharon.
Okay.
Sorry, I just couldn't see who was talking.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Okay, go ahead.
I am not sure if this is going to be a book or like a short book. You know, like an ebook maybe, or a long essay. I've been working on writing something for about 9 months now. And at first it was just going to be like a short essay that I was going to try to get published. But now it's 4,500 words. And I had no idea that was going to happen. And it's very, usually I write a pretty tightly laid out essay where, you know, really has a beginning, middle, and end that ties it back to the beginning. But this just keeps going. So I think it was you, Nina, that said, well, maybe it's a book. So what it's about is it's about bigotry and racism, particularly among people who are not part of the dominant culture. So it is really a memoir, but it's also, I hope, going to be a lesson in opening your mind I grew up in a very economically deprived family. We were Jewish, so everyone thought we must have a pile of money stored somewhere, but we didn't. And I related much more to the other people who were ostracized in my classrooms growing up. So that would be the one black girl, the one Hispanic boy, and the disabled, clearly physically disabled girl. We were the ones that were never invited anymore. Anyhow, I have a lot of stories about growing up Jewish in a very anti-Semitic environment. But then I ended up spending most of my time with black people. And I, you know, ended up marrying a black guy. I have two biracial kids. All kinds of things have happened with them. Being biracial, and particularly between being biracial and being Jewish. Anyhow, there are a whole lot of anecdotes I'd like to get down on paper. And the problem I'm having is I want to make change. I don't think it's going to be inspirational. Okay. Because a lot of these stories are horrific. And I don't want to make it a total downer, but I want, so that's the problem I'm having with it.
Okay, well, so we're not going to address all the issues with it right now. Those can come up as we keep going. So the idea is then that this essay looks like it's a memoir that is about...
my growing up and my kids.
Okay, so growing up Jewish in an anti-Semitic environment and the marriage to someone black and your biracial kids, all of that.
Right.
Okay, and what is it you hope to accomplish with the book? What's your purpose?
I would like people who are not part of the dominant culture or the who are not wealthy to recognize that as long as they keep hating each other instead of helping each other, we're all going to stay kind of down.
We can help each other.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. And it looks like everybody has some shaking, nodding heads. So yeah. Okay. So we get it. So I think that's awesome. And, you know, a personal story can be an awesome way to, just like a novel, can be an awesome way to actually make a difference and begin to change the way people are thinking without hitting them over the head with it. You know what I mean? That they get involved in the story and they still get that inspirational message, or at least a message that change is necessary, right? So, awesome. Yeah. Where do you live, Sharon? You didn't share
that. I live in San Jose, California. Oh. And what else was I supposed to say? My name's Sharon.
That's it. We got it. Sharon Ternoy, San Jose, California. We've got... essay, so now it's more of a memoir, and I think we got it all right. Awesome. Okay, who else? Ella, can you go, or Deborah, do you want to go?
I could go quickly because I'm riding on a airport shuttle and I have to get off for about 10 minutes in about 10 minutes, so I can go brief.
Okay.
My name is Ella Hope. I live an hour north of Seattle, Washington. My book is called A Course in Healing Through Nature, High Vibrational Life Skills and Practices with the Paradigm and High Frequency Shift of Mother Earth. The purpose of the book is to teach self-healing skills with nature, but it presents a number of corollary practices, including urban practice, indoor practice, ceremony, and an in-depth 9-week practice where the purpose is to teach how to heal misalignments in the body. What else do I need to say?
It's nonfiction, right?
Nonfiction, yes.
Yes. Well, I want to commend you.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
I took your course a year ago, and I
I look back now a year where I was a year ago, and everything has changed. I have the benefits nice and concise. I have the market concise. I have everything, the promotion, the platform, everything is highly detailed. Whereas a year ago when I took your course, I had an entirely different title and it was a dream. And now it's, I feel very confident with every aspect. And I also got the overview down to one page.
Awesome. Wow, that was a big cut.
Thank you. This course has been amazing. I'm really happy, even though I'm a little bus sick right now, but I'm really grateful. Thank you. And I look forward to your course.
Awesome. It's great to have you back. And I was going to commend you on your very concise description of your book, which in the past was not concise. So good job.
Oh, good.
Okay. So I'll let you keep riding the bus so you don't have to look down. If you don't want to look at us, you know, don't get sick.
Okay.
Okay. I understand. I get car sick. So, okay. So let's see. Valerie hasn't gone. And Deborah hasn't gone.
I can go. It's Deborah.
Okay, Deborah.
I'm writing a...
Full name.
Pardon me?
Full name and where you're from first.
Oh, Deborah Lynn Stanley, Orange County, California. Genre is creative nonfiction / memoir. The subject is caregiving, memory impaired, seniors. The purpose of this book is to tell the story of my relationship with my mother-in-law. She has advanced Alzheimer's and has had some strokes, and she's now bedridden. And a very dear, special person to me. I've known her since I was 16 years old, and I feel it's a story that needs to be told. We've experienced quite a lot with denial in our family. I've spent time with the Alzheimer's Association, and I've also taught their Memories in the Making creative arts. So anyway, I have some experience and I want to tell about it. And I the things that Sherry Newcomb, mm-hmm. and Deanna said really resonated with me. Just today I've been thinking, you know what? I'm losing myself. I've been here before, I'm doing it again. And so that's a bit of a light bulb from our meeting today for me.
Could you say it again, Deborah? I didn't hear it all.
Oh, sorry.
What was the light bulb moment?
The light bulb moment was that I think I'm losing myself with the caregiving of serving others so much. I'm getting to where I'm so wrapped up in it that I've forgotten how to take care of myself, and I'm actually aggravating my husband because I'm taking on all of his preferences instead of being my confident self. So I got to make some adjustments here, but after hearing Sherry and Deanna talk about it, I realized, you know, that's got to be part of my book too. I've got to address it for myself, and that probably goes to yours. Change first starts with us first.
It does.
And included in the book. So anyway, I'm encouraged today. I'm so glad to be with all of you.
Good. Well, we're glad you're here, and I'm sure there will be, you know, some conversations around these kind of things. As I think I was telling you on the phone, you know, I have another client who is writing a book about caregiving. This is a very important topic right now, because there's so many people who are caregiving and doing exactly that, losing themselves in it. It's just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And they drop their lives in order to caregive. And so Very important book as well. I don't think there's one of you yet who has said, you know, hasn't had a book that's important. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Valerie, I think you're up. You still with us, Valerie? Valerie, are you still there? Maybe not. Valerie, I'm not seeing that I can unmute you for some reason. If you would like to unmute and tell us about yourself and your book, we'd love to hear. All right, well, so Valerie's not responding. If she comes back on and wants to tell us, I will give her that opportunity. So what I want to do now is,
can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Deanna, the book that you suggested was Light of the World is Elizabeth Alexander. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay. Maybe you could type that in the chat also, Deanna.
Okay.
I think it is. It is already.
I sent it just to you, Sharon.
Yeah, so put it in there to everyone. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so what I want to do now, well, let me ask you this. How many of you watched one or both of the webinars or the live Facebook I did last week? Just so I have some idea of how much background you all have.
I did.
No?
I did.
Deborah did,
and?
And I did, Sherry.
Sherry did, okay.
Ella did.
Ella did. Sharon, did you? I'm unmuting you. I unmuted you. Did you get to watch them? Oh, wait, you're still muted. You know what? I can't unmute you. You have to unmute yourself.
I still plan to, but I haven't been able to yet.
Okay. All right. Awesome. All right. So I just wanted to just get a feel. So, okay. So what I want to do, I know not everyone has been to the site and downloaded things or watched things, but I want to just kind of get to give you the opportunity at this point to ask some questions of me that relate to becoming an author of change. I know that they might be very preliminary. Maybe you don't feel like you really get a grasp on it, but let's just start there to see what's up for you. What are you struggling with? What are your concerns? What questions do you have? I know that this is supposed to be just an hour, but the first session or two take just a little bit longer because of the introductions, okay? So if we have enough questions to go over the hour, I will stay, okay? If you have to go right at 5, I understand. So if that's the case, I'd say ask your questions now, okay, first. And as what I always say about this is people will get very quiet and they're waiting for someone else and it's a waste of our time. So don't wait. Just jump in with your questions. Whatever you have to ask is going to be pertinent to someone else. It's never a small question. It's never too little. It's never stupid. It's always going to be of service. And by asking your questions, that's exactly what happens. You are of service. So I'm handing it over to all of you. How can I support you? What are you struggling with? What are your questions? What are your doubts? Anything at all. Can be about publishing, writing, any of it.
Right okay. Now, I struggle with making time. It's all in my head, and I've written a lot down, but I feel like if I don't make the time to just bring it into completion, one day I won't remember a thing, and mm-hmm. I don't want to lose the thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel exactly the same way.
Okay, so repeat the very first part, just so I'm sure. So it's about the time to do this?
Yeah, like committing to making the time to bring this thing into completion.
Okay, so I want to tell you and Deborah and anyone else who is struggling with this, the most common thing that I hear from writers is, I don't have the time. I want to do this, I don't have the time. And it is that commitment level that has to happen. You have to uptick the commitment level. And so in high performance, we talk about this as necessity, okay, or urgency. And so what I'd ask you, Deanna, is if you don't ever write this book, right, and I'm assuming you have more than one book in you because you just seem like that kind of person. I bet all of you have more than one book in you. If you don't ever write this book first, how will that affect you?
Oh my gosh. I barely have words. It just can't happen. I can't let that happen.
Okay, so why?
I feel like I won't be myself. I won't have brought forward this beautiful experience I had that I feel like is mine, but it belongs to the world. That may sound a little weird, but you know.
No.
And I would just be sitting on some unhatched egg until the end of my days for what?
Okay, so that's very clear. Have you ever thought of that before?
No.
Okay, so I want you to go back and listen to this recording again and hear yourself say that. And then the best thing to do is to take that and actually write something down, you know, that you can have in front of you all the time. If I, you know, I need to write this book because. Okay, so don't go into the negative. You need to write this book because of the result you're going to get. So if you do write this book, which you will, and you publish it, how will you feel about yourself?
Great!
Okay.
Great.
And how will that affect you and your life?
Oh, I think it'll affect it so much.
How? I mean, tell us.
I think I'll realign with who I believe myself to be. And it would be so cool if this book could be a way to connect and reconnect with all those foreign teachers out there. Those are my people. They're just so cool. Moving in between cultures. Kind of like what Sharon said. I think they can be living examples of who the world could be if we really took time to care a little bit about each other. Oh, it'd be great.
Awesome. Now, let's shift gears a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So, and again, I want you to come back and I want you to listen to this and I want you to write for yourself a purpose statement that's related to that. So these are personal purpose statements. You know, this is why I need to do it, because it's going to reconnect me with these people and it's going to let me hatch the egg and it's, you know, all those things. I want you to have that in front of you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now, if you never write this book, who will not be impacted? You have a target market, an audience, right? These foreign teachers. If you don't write this book, is it them that's going to be impacted? And how will they be impacted?
I don't know.
Important question to be able to answer.
Okay. If I never write this book, who will be impacted?
Who won't be impacted?
Why do you ask it that way, Nina? I was wondering, why do you ask it in the negative?
Because if you write the book, I mean, if you know who you're writing for, and you think about the impact it's going to have on them, that's great. But usually, if you can get in touch with what those people will not get that they need, it increases your sense of necessity to get the book out. So I'll give you an example. Okay, I'll help you out, Deanna. Mm-hmm. I was teaching going through my high performance writer program with a guy. Actually, it was before he ever joined the program. I did some, you know, a live coaching thing, right, as a promotion. And he gets on and he's talking about how he doesn't write. He wants to write his book. He's not writing. His target market is fathers, so parents, but fathers in particular. And, you know, he's going on, he's got all this thing, you know, I feel like an imposter some of the time, you know, same kind of things we all have, right? But he says, but I really want to do it and I don't write. And so I said to him, well, who's your market? Well, the dads. And I said, and so who will, if you don't ever write the book, who won't be impacted? And he says, the fathers. And then he starts to think about it and he says, well, actually it's the kids. And then he was like, oh my God. I have to write this book because if I don't, the fathers will never have the relationships with the kids and the kids will grow up with these issues with their fathers and, you know, changed everything. That's why I ask it that way, Sharon, because I want you to see who needs your book. And sometimes when we just say who will be impacted, we just give our pat answer to our market or our audience. Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Deanna, who will not be impacted if you don't write your book? Who will not get the benefit of what you have to offer them?
I think it's those students of those teachers, because when a teacher goes to a foreign country and they go through culture shock and all those adjustments negatively, they can be really damaging and difficult. And it's just unnecessary for the students to go through something like that, because they're like, you know, so excited to have this foreign teacher. So I think actually it would be the students first and foremost.
Okay. And so when you know that, how does that make you feel?
Interesting. Gosh, that's a really interesting question. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. Does it increase your necessity to write the book and the urgency?
Yeah, it puts the urgency in a different place, kind of from my mind to my heart, basically. Yeah, it does.
And so if you write the book and you get it out there in the reverse, what will the impact be? What is it that you hope to accomplish? Now that you're thinking about it this way, what do you hope to accomplish with this book? What's the benefit these people are going to get from you and from your work?
Well, the coming together of two cultures that would seem to be in total conflict. And that, to me, is sort of the humanitarian project. Because the student has so much to teach. And vice versa. So that flow would be there. And I think we would be better for it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Whoa.
So does that make you... So let's go back to your first issue, which was, I don't have time. You know, time is an issue, right? When you think this way, are you more inclined to get time on your calendar to work on this book?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So all of you can go through the same process that I just did with Deanna. But then what you have to do beyond that, so once you get this sense of necessity and urgency that I have to get this book out there because it's going to make a difference, right? And if I don't get it out there, the difference won't be made and people will then be negatively impacted, or at least they won't be able to change for the better, right? So when you get that, now it's logistical. You have to go to your calendar and you have to block out consistent time. So whether that is that you get up 30 minutes earlier in the morning and you write for 30 minutes, or it's, you know, 30 minutes before bed, whatever it is, you have to put that on your calendar. And it is an appointment just like a doctor's appointment, not easily canceled. Okay? So I want you to block time. There are people who have written books in 15-minute increments. It's okay. Just start. And that's the other thing I usually say is, if you can at least get a 15-minute block on your calendar with nothing else really around it, okay, like after it, you will quickly discover that 15 minutes becomes 30 and then becomes 45 and then becomes an hour, because you're going to get in there and you're going to find yourself, right? And you're going to be excited and passionate and inspired, and you're going to keep going. But you have to start the practice, and it is a practice. You have to start really thinking of yourself as a writer. And what do writers do? What do they do?
They write.
I had one client who, that rocked her world. She was like, "Writers write. My God, I just have to write and I'm a writer." Changed her whole perspective. So block out the time. And if you're still struggling because you're a caregiver or whatever, and I know you need downtime and I know you need to take care of yourself, and just like you, you know, the evening comes and I'm pretty happy. My husband likes to watch TV and I wouldn't say I dislike it. And so, you know, it's sort of a thing we do together. We don't always have that many things we do together. So, you know, the end of the day comes and I'm happy to sit down for an hour or two. Usually it's an hour, but... could I be doing something else? Yes. I could be working on a book. If I didn't work on my book all that day, that hour of TV time could easily be me working on my book. And yeah, I'm tired, but so what? And that's another conversation that we can have at some time if that's an issue for all of you, is how do you boost your energy so that you can write anytime you need to? But you need to start looking at your life and saying, what can go? What is a distraction that is unnecessary and sucks away time that could be spent on my book? Okay. Make sense to everybody?
Yep.
Okay. Great question, Deanna. Sorry I harped on it for so long.
Great answer. Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully that was helpful to everybody.
It was.
Yes.
Good. Other questions?
Yeah, I have one. I know that you must be very busy because I know you're a blogger and you write books and you do these sort of things. And anyway, I'm trying to do a blog, starting a blog that will be on the soul and on just finding our soul and nurturing our soul. Anyway, I don't know that much about the soul, so I have to learn a lot of stuff to be able to blog it. So I have all these bits of information that I've gathered from this book and that book and, you know, whatever. Is there a way to organize that? I mean, I want to have to just keep reading through these cards to find that nugget that I wrote on one of the cards. I don't know which one.
Right.
How do I organize all that?
Yeah. So I don't do anything on paper anymore. Mm-hmm. And it isn't that I dislike writing things out or whatever, but, you know, there came a day when I realized that, for instance, I would have conversations, like some of you I had conversations with this week or last week, and I would write notes. And then somebody would contact me 6 months later and say, I spoke to you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't remember and I couldn't find my notes. And the same with going to conferences. I write things down. I don't find them again. So mm-hmm. I have given up handwriting things. Also, I'm a faster typist. So what I do is I use two things. So if I'm working on a book, I use Scrivener. And the reason I use Scrivener is because I can drag things from the internet sites right into the research. I can put PDFs mm-hmm. in there. You know, it syncs. There are ways to use Evernote with it, which I don't really know how to do very well. But the thing is that once it's all in Scrivener, if I want to search for something, like let's say I want to search for Deanna Blackwell, I can just put mm-hmm. that into Scrivener in the search engine, and it will find every place that I've used Deanna's name.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's one thing. Okay. Uh-huh. And plus all my research is in one place. You can even create folders in that research area. So how many of you know how to use Scrivener or are using Scrivener?
I've heard of Scrivener. I don't know how to use it though.
Okay. So only Deborah. Okay. So it's not a necessity. Okay. But it's kind of like a trapper keeper. If you remember what those were, those binders mm-hmm. with all the little, yeah, Deanna's going, yeah, she's the younger one here. I remember buying them for my kids, and I always thought they were really cool because they had all these little folders in them, and you could just, everything went in there. So that's what I like about Scrivener. I'm not as proficient at it as I would like. For instance, when I export to Word, I very often have to do some formatting, which is kind of a pain in the rear. But in general, it keeps me very organized. When I did Creative Visualization for Writers, if you've read that book, you know it has 20 million little pieces in it. That was all organized in Scrivener, and I can move things around. And so anyway, but you don't have to use Scrivener, but that's one tool. The other tool that I highly recommend is Evernote, because you can also drag things into Evernote. You can type in Evernote. It's a great backup system because it's, you know, in the cloud and you won't lose anything there. And for instance, now when I go to conferences, I bring an iPad and I type into Evernote. You know, most of you know that I do all this work with Brendan Burchard, and every time I go to one of his events, I get one of these. Mm-hmm. And they're filled with information. And I thought, you know, I live in Northern California and we have fires. And I'm like, if we had a fire, every one of these notebooks would be, I would not be taking them with me. Mm-hmm. Like there are other things I might take, but I wouldn't take those. And I would lose all those notes. This is why I'm also a fanatical backup person. Like I have three different backup systems on my computer because mm-hmm. I'm petrified that, I mean, my life is on my computer, everything. So if I lost it, that would not be good. So anyway, so Evernote is lovely that way. It saves everything into the cloud. You create notebooks and notes, and you can drag things in there from the internet also, or clip them in from the internet. So all your research can go in there. And like Scrivener, if you put into the search engine, like for Ella, if I put in ecology or something like that, you know what I mean? I would see every place I used it, it would bring it up. So,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very useful that way. So that's what I would say is get away from doing paper.
Yeah.
Those cards, you got to look through every one of them.
I know.
You don't want to do that. Now, no. Scrivener, if you like cards, Scrivener has... what they call the cork board. And what's on the cork board are little cards. So you can know, you know what's in every chapter based on, you know, or whatever you documents you have. If you click on the cork board part, it you can actually fill out these little cards.
Okay.
And it's all there. So if you like cards, you can.
Well, it's not that I like them. It's just I didn't know what else to do. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I just say go digital because there's so many ways with the digital that you won't lose it, and it's easy to search for what you need.
Right.
Is that helpful?
Yeah. Organize. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need something to organize me, and Scrivener sounds like the way to go. Maybe.
Yeah, it's not hard, and if you let me see if I can grab real fast for you. Hold on. So I actually am a, and I didn't tell you about it for this reason, but I am an affiliate of Scrivener. And also, oh yeah, Sharon asked, do you have a recommendation, recommend a tutorial for Scrivener? Yes. So that's the first thing I'm putting in here because I have it handier. I think that's it. Can somebody click on that and see whether it takes you to something called Learn Scrivener Fast? Mm-hmm. And then let me see if I can find you a link to Scrivener, should you want it. I make all of like $6 or $3 or something when you sign up for any of these things.
It goes to Learn Scrivener.
Yes.
Awesome. So yes, yeah. So you want to, you could use that for the tutorial. Gwen Hernandez is lovely. She does courses on it. I learned from her first. I happened to be at two conferences and she did things twice. How many of you are members of the Nonfiction Writers University? Sharon.
Aren't we all, if we signed up for this?
Yeah, you will be. Yes.
Oh, we'll be. Okay.
After about 2 weeks, you will.
Okay.
And actually, somebody asked about that, and I said, well, that particular bonus went away. I totally forgot that it was on the website. So everybody will get a year of that. Okay. I don't know what happens. Like, Ella has dropped. No, Ella's still here. Ella, I know you're a university member already. I'm not sure how that works, because I can't remember if you got it free already once. Anyway, anyone who's already a member, I'll get back to you about what happens with that. But you do get a year free. Okay, so the other thing I was going to do is give you
this. We get a year free?
Say that again?
When we sign up for this coaching course, we get a year free in the university?
Yes, but what I'm saying is if you're already a member or have gotten it for free once before, I'm not sure what the policy is. So Sharon, you are a member and you have paid, or you just joined, or what was it?
I just joined. I paid $1.
Okay. So yes, you will get it for free.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still trying to find this. Oh, there we go. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can get this in there for you. Okay. I think I typed it wrong. Hang on. I have all kinds of little snippets for things, and I need to get the right one. Okay, hang on. No, that's not it. Hold on.
What are you putting in? Sorry.
I'm trying to put in my affiliate code for Scrivener. It's just was the way I was doing it wasn't working very well, so hang on.
Gotcha.
There we go. Okay, so that should take you to Scrivener. And if you don't want to use them, don't worry about it. Any of you who know me, I only do affiliate links for things I use or 100% believe in, like people that I know, you know, that kind of thing. So just so you know, but there are those two if you want them.
Okay,
and you could also, by the way, Sherry, you could just use Word and create folders on your computer. If that's way easier for you, just create a folder for your book. And instead of typing on cards, type into a document so that you can actually search for things on your computer.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So if you don't want to go super high tech, you know, just use what you've got.
Yep.
Okay. Other questions? We lost somebody. Who'd we lose?
Yeah, we lost Deanna.
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
Okay, anyway, Maybe we have to leave. We're after five, but I'm happy to answer some. So it is after five. If anyone needs to leave, just wave. Tell me you got to go. But I
now
want.
Is the,
what's that? I hear somebody, but I don't know who that. Oh, maybe it's.
I'm sorry. This is Ella. I have a question. If no one else does.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Thank you. The homework for this week centers around sound bites, talking points, and signature story. I just had a question about the signature story.
Hang on. Are you are you sure that's the right one? I'm going there. I think you're right. Go ahead.
Yes. My question is about signature story. I finally have found my signature story, but I also have a couple of auxiliary stories that go off of my main story. And today, a lot of people in their introductions sound a lot like signature stories, which is why their main story they want to tell. Could you just quickly define signature story again for the others?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So in the homework, it says a signature story is a personal anecdote that helps people understand or relate to your purpose or message or explain why it's important to you. So it's a way for you to use your experience to inspire, motivate, and inform. Most of us have some story that we tell over and over and over again related to this book, right? Or to the cause or why we're writing it. So Sharon was talking about, you know, growing up in, you know, Jewish, in an anti-Semitic area, mostly hanging out with black people, marrying someone black, having biracial kids, right? This is, and so while that's a big long story, I mean, you told it in a very short way, Sharon, but that is a signature story. But what would be even better is if you can get to a story that gives us real emotional impact. So, you know, the first time maybe you experienced anti-Semitism, or the, you know, your first relationship with someone black where you, you know, got that both of you had something in common because you're both, you know, both being. Yeah.
The one that I tell a lot, because you said this one came to mind that I tell a lot, is my daughter's realization that it wasn't always okay to be a black Jew, because I built into their heads they were not half black and half Jewish. They're black Jews. That's their, you know, their complete holistic identity. Well, when she got back from her first trip to Israel, where she really got into that part of her identity, she was taking up the role of NAACP student representative, and they had just come out with their policy to get Stanford and other businesses to divest from Israel due to mistreatment, quote unquote, of Palestinians. So they wanted her to lead the charge on campus. A little bit of a dilemma, you know. Anyhow, I have a story about that, but that's the setup for it.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So, yeah, so that's what we're looking for, Ella, is something that is sort of a turning point for us. A lot of you may have heard me talk about how I decided to become an author, and I sent out a public, you know, a proposal, and a big agent in New York contacted me and said, I love this and I love that and da, 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 but you need a platform. And so I had to turn to building platform, which I didn't know what it was because it was actually a new term at the time. And so I'll tell this story about how, you know, I spent 8 years building platform and didn't sell a book. I had agents, but no book being sold. So that I was ready to give up. That I thought this isn't worth it. It's not happening. I'm not going to do it. And then I looked at how far I had come. And I realized that I was only doing the platform building because I had to, you know, because it was a must. And I decided that I'd come too far. And I said, I refuse to give up. And instead of giving up, I am going to embrace everything I have to do. I'm going to love it. I'm going to embrace it because it's getting me where I want to go. And so when I did that, from that time to the time that How to Blog a Book was published, my first traditionally published book was only 4 years, half the time it took me to get to that point previously where I said, I'm going to give up. That's a signature story. right? Because it talks about my journey, but also about the mindset shift. So if I'm talking about a mindset shift for writers, that story works. So we want to be looking for those kind of stories that illustrate our book and our purpose and our mission and our message. Does that help, Ella? Ella, you still with
us? Yes, that makes it much clearer. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Mindset shift. Thank you. That's it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Well, it's not always a mindset shift. It just, in my case, that's what it was, and that's what I was talking about. For you, it could be different. For Sharon, it's different. You know, it's just a story that's really going to help people connect emotionally with you and your purpose and your book. That is, you know, something you can tell in like 5 minutes tops.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. That was another question, was the word count. And you said 5 minutes. So
yeah, I don't ever give a word
count. I can practice it.
You know, and the thing is, Ella, that let's say you're giving a keynote speech. You might be able to tell that story in much more detail, right?
Okay.
But if you're getting up and you got, you know, if you have half an hour or 45 minutes to not only teach something, but to get people really, you know, like you're at a conference, you might want to tell a few signature stories to get people to connect emotionally with what you're telling them. But you might also be teaching them something. So, you know what I mean? It depends how condensed your time is, how long your story is. So I wouldn't just say, oh, it's okay, just going to be 5 minutes. But you want to have some in the bag that when you're talking, you can go, oh, I can tell that story here. And 5 minutes later, you're done. And, you know, you're on to the next point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Okay. Other questions? And if there aren't any, that's fine. Go ahead, Sharon.
At some point, do you think I'm going to be able to tell whether this should be a book or something shorter? You had said essay, memoir, book, and I'm not sure why you separated memoir from book. Was it a, is there a different genre I'm not aware of for memoirs that aren't books?
No, there would be an essay.
Okay.
And then there are memoir. I don't think I distinguished. I said fiction. Mm-hmm. Straight nonfiction, memoir, and then there's creative nonfiction. And
okay, yeah. I didn't get that.
Yeah. So no, an essay, but an essay would be much shorter.
Will I know, you think, at some point if it should be a book or an essay, or should I get opinions when it's more done or more?
My thought is, if you have 45,000 words worth of information to share, it's probably a book.
No, 4,500 is all I have right now. 4,500.
Oh, 4,500. Okay, I'm sorry. So, you know, you could give it to some beta readers and ask them, is this something you want, you know, you would want to see more of?
What are beta readers?
People that you bring, you know, it's people you know who might want to read your book.
Okay.
Right? And they, you know, hopefully it's someone who actually has an interest in your topic. You know what I mean? Not just some Joe Schmo off the street that you have no idea whether this is something that would interest them.
Okay.
The other thing is, Sharon, when we get to, and I know it's 2 months away, but when we get to the third segment, the first third module, I'm going to be taking you through my, or teaching you how to use a book proposal as an evaluation tool for your book. And at that point, you should be able to say, I have enough material or I don't. But just in general, that's what I'd be looking at. I would be sitting down and saying, okay, I have 4,500 words. If I flesh this out to a book, what else would go in it? And I would plan that out. And if you don't have enough, you know what I mean, to fill out a book, then it's an essay. And that's sort of the rule of thumb, is do you have enough content to actually make it a book?
I do, but I don't know if it's stuff that people would want to read. I can talk with you later. Do we get in this class? Is all of the back and forth here in the classroom, or do we get private coaching too?
Primarily it's here. Okay. And some of you got a free session with me as a bonus, a 30-minute session. But here's the thing, anytime you still want to talk about something, and let's say it's something just one-on-one, you know, just for you, I would say at the end of the session, we can deal with that, and people who want to get off can get off, right? Because like today, I said, if you need to leave at 5, leave. Just the first two sessions, because of our introductions, they go longer. And I should have said that early, which I just forgot. But so it's the same. We'll end at 5. And then if you have a question, Sharon, you know, that's specific to your book, mm-hmm. then I'll stay on for 15, 20 more minutes. And anyone who wants to hear can stay as long as it's okay with you, because they're going to learn.
Well, I'll wait till next time when I have more of it clear in my head.
Okay. Yeah, I suggest you sit down and you really kind of mind map or do an outline or whatever, or a timeline if you, since it's a memo, it might be a memoir, you know, timeline of events, and really see whether you think you have enough to flesh it out.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Other questions before we go? Valerie, did you want to introduce yourself? You never did introduce yourself. You were quiet when I asked. Nope. All right. So Valerie, we're going to hit you up next time, along with the other people who weren't here. Okay. Any other questions from anyone? Okay. And Sharon, you're going to figure out how to get into the site. And if you still have trouble, let me know. I think Deborah is right. I think when a site comes up as not safe, you right. can actually say, yeah. I allow it.
It's not giving me that choice.
Oh, it doesn't come up with that little box.
No, it's different. It's up in the URL, but I found Edge is the Microsoft's replacement for it's Microsoft's browser, and it works, so I can get in now.
Awesome. Perfect. Great. All right. Okay, other questions, or are we good for today? Okay.
It's a great time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I hope you got something out of today.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good. And, you know, go listen to the webinar. I'm going to send you the link, which I did not do. I'm going to send you a link to a Facebook page. Are all of you on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have to spend a lot of time on Facebook, but the Facebook page is a place for you to go to talk about the assignment, to ask me questions that, you know, come up while you're, you know, between sessions. To chat with each other, to share things. Sharon, you know, you can actually upload a document to Facebook or put it in Google Docs or somewhere and ask the members of the group if they want to be beta readers for you.
Okay.
You know, or just ask in the group, you know, do you want to be a beta reader? And if they say yes, you can ask them to send you a private message with their email address. But it's not only the 9 of you in there. There are the people who have taken the course before are in there. And the reason for that, even though you don't know them, is because they get very quiet when their course ends and they go away. And a lot of times they're quiet anyway, because not everybody feels like they want to use Facebook, you know, or whatever. So every time we have a new class and new people get in there and start talking, the old ones kind of come out of the cupboard and begin to communicate. And that gives you more people to connect with, because you need to build your community, right? A better place to build a community than with other change agents.
So it's Author of Change. The name of the website is Author of Change in Facebook.
It is Author of Change, but I will invite you to, I will send you the link and then you ask to be invited and I.
Thank you.
Give you that. So I will do that. I'm actually making myself a note. Okay. Are we good?
Oh, but you have agents. Did you have books to sell those 8 years? Did you have
books? Yeah. After that one book proposal, I worked on a second book. That whole thing is a whole story I can tell you some other time about what happened with that particular one. But then I went on to another book proposal and got an agent. I had an agent. I got an agent. They never sold anything for me. I got a new agent. And she sold How to Blog a Book and the Author Training Manual. And then I changed agents again. And the new agent sold Creative Visualization for Writers and now is actually has in his hands, but hasn't actually said anything about it, my proposal for the book I'm working on now, which is about authoring change. And I told all of you at some point, hopefully, that you have the opportunity as part of this course to actually be a beta reader for me. Yeah, so I have the introduction and two chapters done, and they're not actually in sequence, so I'm going to work on the next chapter. And as I have something more cohesive, not, you know, not with a big gap between chapter 1 and chapter 3, right, I will begin to give these to you. Actually, I could probably give you the introduction and chapter 1 at this point. But anyway, so you get to do that. So, and I probably will, when everybody's here, I'll ask, or I'll send an email out, you know, or put it on Facebook asking, would you like to get the whole thing in one go, or would you like to get it in pieces? But that's an advantage of this, is it's based on this course, but there's of course more. What's that?
What's the change you want to bring about in the world?
With this book, I want to bring about, I want to create 500 authors of change. I want to see authors making an impact in the world with their ideas.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a lot. I always hesitate to say 500 because between now and 2020, that's not a lot of time.
You can do it, though.
Thank you. So I keep saying, if I inspired you in any way to write your book and publish it, and it's about change, I'll put you down as one, right? You don't have to take a course or read the book, but if I inspired you in some way to go out there and make a difference with your words, then you count.
So, yeah. You just have to push us to get that book done before 2020.
Yeah. Well, we'll be working. You know, you'll have everything you need to go to get your book written and to go out and publish via this course. All the information you need, and you'll have the action plans. And then if you're struggling with writing, what I do after this, and it is not a requirement, but after this, I offer another program, which is called the Write Your Transformational Book Challenge. And I challenge you to write, I think it's, is it 700? Hold on. Maybe it's 500 times. Yeah. I challenge you to write about between 500 and 600 words per day. Because does is it gives you a full length book. Gives you a book between 45 and like 65,000 words or something. So for those who aren't right, by the time we're done, if you're not writing consistently, or you don't think you will, and you want to continue coaching like this, so every week we come together and we coach. So it could be questions about publishing or about where you're stuck with your book or whatever it is. And so, and the requirement's only that 500-600 words. I mean, it's not a lot of words, right?
No, yeah, that's doable.
And I have some people who do it and they, you know, go through the program and they still don't write their book. But, but there are a lot of people who like to continue the support and to be in a group, right? And to come in and be able to say, I did it, I didn't do it, I got stuck, this is why I got stuck, right? And to work through that, to like with Deanna, to work with, you know, the sense of urgency or necessity, right?
Right.
Things like that. So that's what I bring to it. I bring my high performance coaching as well as my author coaching to that. You get some of that here too. I mean, some of what I was talking to Deanna about and all, you know, that's comes from high performance work. But when you start asking me about proposals or how long, you know, how do I know if it's an essay or a book? Now we're talking about my author coaching, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I, you know, I'm not trying to throw another program at you. I'm just telling you that, you know, that you will have everything you need to write the book. And if you don't feel like you, can do it without support, then I'm there for another 3 months. Okay. Nice to see you back, Deanna.
Thanks. Some kind of internet problem. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Well, you can catch that 10 minutes or whatever it was on the recording. So I'll ask you too, and Valerie is still not responding, but does anyone have any last questions? I do need to go at about 5:30 because I have family who actually was going to eat at 5:30 that are waiting for me and I'm half an hour away. But I told them I wouldn't be there till 6:15. So it's not a problem. Just saying I will have to go. But if we have any other short questions, I am happy to answer one more question before we go. Everybody's good?
Thank you.
Okay. So I will share the Facebook page. Actually, you know what? Let me do that real fast. Here, I will send it to you, but let me share it here so you have it. Just a second. Since Sharon was asking about it. Hold on, my computer is slow because of Zoom running. Oh, there it is. All right, still not 100% up. Okay, and so Deanna, what you did miss was I said I have this Facebook group and you can go there and you can ask whatever questions or share work with people. Or I remember Ella did a really good job last time of going in there and sharing her title and things like that, you know, and so it's really good for that. Can somebody just click on that and see whether you get to a Facebook page? Looks like Deanna's doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just put your name in to request membership and I'll approve it. I don't know if it'll show up immediately, but oh, there we go. Sharon asked. There we go. And just introduce yourself in the group. Okay. I approved you, Sharon.
Thank you.
Yep. Anybody else? Oh, here we go. Sherry did it. This makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Anybody else while I'm still here? No? Huh. Or somebody working at it?
Oh, there. Oh, I think I'm in it. It says joined.
Did you just... well, I think I just proved you.
Oh, okay.
I think. Hold on. Well, Ella's already in there because she was in here before. Sherry's in here.
I think I was in here before too.
Did you take the course before or were you in the home study?
I think I started this, but I didn't finish it last time.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, you are in here. Yep. Okay.
I'm going to have to leave, but thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I got to go too. So before you run, I'll just conclude, or you can run if you need to. But anyway, just go ahead, add your names there. Okay. And I'll approve you. I'm going to run out. I'll be sending you a follow-up email later tonight or tomorrow, depending what time I get back. And I will talk to all of you next week. Same place, same time. You will get reminders. So just, you know, I say hang on to the info, but you'll get reminders. Okay. So everybody have a good week.
Thanks.
Until I talk to you next time, go out there, achieve more inspired results by becoming an author of change.
Okay.
All right. See you all next week. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.